Revelation chapter 19, and we're going to begin reading with the 11th verse, 11 through 16. And please that you enjoy this precious study today. Revelation 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. He that hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you today that we can come, enjoy this precious study, to open up your book, the truth, the Word of God, and to come together and to search it. Father, I ask, first of all, that each and every one here, that they know you as their Savior. Because if they did not know you, today it is to the lost world just foolishness. We must be a believer in Jesus Christ. We must know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We must invite our Savior in, dear Lord, dear Father. And he was obedient to you, died on the cross for our sins. And all we need to do is invite him in. So please today, that there will be no one here that does not have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, has invited him to come into their hearts and to live. Once we've taken care of that invitation, once the Holy Spirit, Father, has come in to live within our hearts, now we are about to set out upon our life to learn about you for the first time. You've given us your precious book. You've given us the Holy Spirit within our hearts. So now, dear Father, guide and lead us that we can understand and see the events that's to come, understand the events that have taken place, and see very clearly you, Lord Jesus. Guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. We look at that first verse that we read, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war." We find back in Revelation 5, 6, in review again, we see the Lamb of God seated upon his throne. But here we find that he is coming to make war. Going to be a victorious battle. The enemy, sin, hatred, all will be taken care of, conquered by our Lord with his great power and great might. The 11th verse tells us that we see the heaven open. The heaven opened. Behold, a white horse. The 6th chapter and the 2nd verse, we saw a rider on a white horse, but that rider was not our Lord, our Savior, the great King and Conqueror. The rider on the white horse in the 6th chapter was none other than the Antichrist. It was the first seal that was opened, and we found a rider on the white horse. The 2nd seal was opened, and we have a rider of the red horse, and a 3rd, the black, and a 4th, the pale horse. The rider here in this 19th chapter, verse 11, is described and is well described. We begin, "Faithful and True." We have his eyes were as a flame of fire in the 12th verse. Many crowns on his head in the 12th verse. In the 13th verse, his name is called the Word of God. In the 15th verse, out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. In the 16th verse, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no question who this is. It's Jesus. We ended here last week with the white horse. The white horse. Surely this is not something that's going to take place literally. That's what they all say. Well, let's take a look at a couple of verses of Scripture, because this is not the first time that we find Jesus riding on an animal. Is his second. Only two times in all the Scripture is recorded him riding on an animal. And let's go back to Zechariah 9:9, and then we're going to go to Matthew. So find, if you would please, Zechariah. Amos, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Zechariah 9:9. Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass and upon a colt of the foal of an ass. That is 9:9, Zechariah 9:9. Now, if you would turn to Matthew chapter 21, because it was prophesied 500 years before, and that was in Zechariah. But as you look at Matthew chapter 21, we're going to be in the Scripture a lot today. Matthew 21, verse 4, read down through the 11th verse. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, the king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded him, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they sat him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna, the son of David, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come unto Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. The fulfillment of Zechariah 9:9, and the only other time there's a reference made of our Lord riding upon an animal. We have here the second time. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him. White horses. Horses. Can there be horses in heaven? Can there be horses in heaven? Let's take a look at 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Chapter 2. Now, I started with just one verse, but I just couldn't do it. There's too much here that we need to see. And so we're going to back all the way up to verse 6 and read down through verse 14 of this second chapter. And if you're not familiar with this story here, it is a beautiful story. And Elijah said unto him, I'm in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 6. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. and they too went on. It's Elijah and Elisha. 50 men of the sons of prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by Jordan. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they too went over on dry ground. You didn't realize that there was the Red Sea, there was a Jordan River, and now we have once again the parting of the river. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind unto heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof." And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. And he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. There appeared chariots of fire and horses of fire out of heaven to pick up Elijah. What a way to go home. That beats the grave. What a day. What a day. And Elisha did receive his second, the double portion, the double blessing, the double power that he asked for. Now let's go to 6, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. That's not the only place that we see horses. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 13 through verse 17. And he said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And he was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore send he thither horses and chariots and a great host." And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" And he answered, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Again, the enemy has come against God's man. He's going to put him to death. He's going to destroy him. They've come with great chariots and great horses. Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Did Elisha have any fear whatsoever? The eyes of Elisha was able to see all these that were around. What a day. The young man couldn't see him. He was fearful. He knew the enemy was right at the doorstep. How can we ever be saved? Elisha says, "Lord, please show the young man what I see." And he opened his eyes, and there was all the chariots surrounding them. No enemy could get through. The same God that took Elijah by a fiery chariot. The same God that protected Elisha from the enemy is our God. Is our God. And we need to be as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they were facing the fiery furnace. And they says, you know, what will you do? And if our God chooses, he'll save us. He'll keep us. If he chooses not to, he won't. But no matter what, we praise God. Now that's what we need to do each day. We need to know that our God is powerful enough to protect us. If he chooses for some reason not to that day, there's a reason and a purpose beyond our thinking. But still, praise the Lord and don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. How many times in your life has he circled around you, horses and chariots, to protect you? We don't know. We don't know. How many times has he sent a legion of angels to protect us from an oncoming car that we know that's it, and all of a sudden it goes by this way and that way and neither touch each other? How many times has God protected us? We don't know. But he is in the caring, loving business. And he does that for you and for me. So please, don't be afraid. Serve the Lord. Elijah and Elisha. So we had multitudes of horses. Whether it be the ones that came down and picked up Elijah, or the multitude that encircled Elisha. Either way, we've found horses in heaven, haven't we? We have found horses in heaven. And here back in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, the heavens have been opened. Before this time, we've just got a glimpse of what's in there. But now it's been opened. Chapter 4, I saw and behold a door open in heaven. But that was for the purpose that John could enter in. But now we find it is opened that out of heaven, millions of horses with their riders will come from heaven to earth and be led by our Lord. What a day. You thought that was something when Elijah was taken up. You thought that was something when Elisha was protected by all the chariots and horsemen. What a day. When the armies from heaven will follow the commander-in-chief back to earth for victory. What a day that'll be. There are four times that specifically it tells us that the heavens were opened. And we're going to look at those four times. And so, Matthew chapter 3. I said we were going to be in the scripture a lot today. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. The heavens were opened. Matthew chapter 3, reading from the 16th verse. Matthew chapter 3, verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. John chapter 1, verse 51. It was the baptism of the Lord Jesus. The Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 1, verse 51. We have the calling out of the disciples, and back up in verse 44, now Philip was in Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. Nathanael said unto him, Can there be any good thing out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, Come and see. And Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said unto him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. And Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art King of Israel. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And here is verse 51. He said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. On to Acts chapter 7. This is one of my favorite here. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Acts chapter 7, verse 56. Start to reading with verse 54. Acts 7:54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witness laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. They stoned Stephen. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. The heavens were opened. And the fourth is where we're at here in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. And I saw the heavens opened. Two of these have already taken place. Two are still to come as far as the events are concerned. First thing John saw was a white horse, signifying a victorious power. And at the same time, he saw the rider of that white horse, and his name is called Faithful and True. This, once again, could be none other than the Lord Jesus. He's faithful to his Father in every detail that he was called to do. He is truth. Jesus is coming to settle once and for all the wickedness and remove all the wickedness from the world, all the inhabitants that are involved in that wickedness. The rider of this white horse, I saw heaven open and the white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. In righteousness doth he judge and make war. A mighty warrior we find on this white horse. And he is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. We have studied and read and witnessed now horses in heaven. We have looked at scripture verses that tell us that the heavens were opened so some could see in, and now heavens are opened that they will come out. Who is this great army with our commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus? It is none other than you and I. So there will not be just one white steed that our Lord will be upon. We will follow our Lord as well on horses. Is this literal? We have no reason to think it's not. No reason to think it's not. How can there be horses in heaven? Who created the horse here upon earth? Why can there not be horses in heaven? Where did all the animals come from? We look closely at how man was was created and life breathed into man, and then woman was created for man, and life was breathed into her. We see that. And the next thing we know, the next picture we have, all these animals are lined up and Adam's naming them. Where'd the animals come from? God spoke into existence the earth, the heavens, all the universe. He spoke it into existence, and then after he created it, then he just kind of went around and he just spun the earth and then kept going with the universe, and the sun's in the middle and everything circles around that, and then we're sliding out through the universe, because we're not the only galaxy that God has allowed man to see. God created all that, every bit of it. Are you going to question if there's horses in heaven? He created all animals. And we're going to be coming on those horses. And what a glorious day that'll be. He is coming to judge in righteousness as well as to destroy in blood. He is coming to judge in righteousness as well as destroy in blood. Go to Acts chapter 17, verse 31. Acts 17, 31. Almost have to call this a Bible study today. Acts chapter 17. Verse 31, powerful verse of Scripture. I want you to see it. Acts 17, 31. Because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. There is coming a day of judgment, and he is going to judge the world, the Scripture says, in righteousness. This appointed day, a man ordained to judge in righteousness, is once again none other than the Commander-in-Chief, Jesus Christ. He is the Commander-in-Chief of the armies, and he is going to come, and he is leading these armies from heaven, and they're about to land upon the earth. That's what's to come. We think it's something when we can get into a spaceship and go up to the moon or circle a moon and come back, and what a miracle. It's nothing compared to our God and what he can do. This war that we have here is a war like none other. This war is for the purpose of putting down evil. Many wars are started because of evil, because of desiring of more power, wanting more land. Well, here we find the owner of this property is coming to take it back. And he is taking away all the evil that has possessed it and destroyed it. He will bring righteousness to earth. Peace on earth and goodwill towards man. We've heard those words. We hear them every time the Christmas season comes about. Peace on earth and goodwill towards man. Jesus is preparing to bring the peace that was spoken of at the birth of our Lord Jesus. He is going to bring that. The night the Lord Jesus was born, there was that announcement, peace on earth, goodwill towards man. There has never been peace on earth, and there will not be until he returns and plants his feet upon the earth. This event we're looking at here in Revelation 19:11 is that event. The heavens are open, and here he comes. when King Jesus puts down the armies of the Antichrist. And then he will sit himself upon the throne of David and reign for 1,000 years. Reign in righteousness. The 12th verse gives us a description of him. His eyes were as a flame of fire. The word "as" really should be omitted. So read that if you would with me. His eyes are a flame of fire. It's not like it. It is a flame of fire. He is coming. He is going to observe all the earth. He will search out every evil. And he will come and judge it with his righteousness. This is what's to come. His eyes, a flame of fire. Nothing. Nothing will escape. His eyes will see everything. Not one person that has committed evil, that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Not one event that has taken place and done in an evil manner. Not one single thing will be missed. All will be brought to judgment. None will escape the all-seeing eye of the one who sits upon this great white steed. We find in that same verse of Scripture that his head has many crowns. His head has many crowns. In chapter 12, verse 3, the dragon is said to have 7 diadems. And the beast is said to have 10 on his horns, 10 diadems. And that's in chapter 13, verse 1. The word crowns here should be diadems. And the diadem, it denotes absolute and supreme authority. Well, the beast and the dragon had great authority. However, will it ever exceed or cannot exceed the power and the authority of our Lord? And if you'll notice the difference, the dragon had 7 diadems. The beast had 10 diadems. But the scripture verse here, there is such a number that they can't be counted. It says many diadems. He comes with the greatest power, the greatest authority. So not only have we looked at Elijah and Elisha and how that God takes his servant home or protects his servants, we also have looked to find that our God is all-powerful, all-knowing, never, ever can be. His power, his authority can't be touched. So you and I being servants of the great high God, why should we ever be worried? Why should we ever fear when our God is in control? If you're a child of God, if you're not a child of God, you've got everything to fear. But if you're a child of God, he is holding you, he's protecting you, he's sending his legions of angels down. He may have sent chariots of fire down to protect you from something you weren't even aware of. He cares for his own. We have in this 12th verse, his eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns or diadems. It tells us of a royal dignity of absolute supreme authority. So it's more than a crown. And he holds them. He holds the most. And at the very last point we're going to make here, he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Now we have descriptions King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's called faithful and true in the 11th verse. But it says here in the 12th verse that no man knew but he himself. We need to see. We need to try with our small minds to understand who God is. We try to care for his creation. We invent things. We do small things. But we cannot create anything out of nothing. And God created everything out of nothing. God has the ability to not only create it, but keep it in place, sustain it. God the Father had a plan that the Son followed through with in every letter to save us. He is all-powerful, all-knowing. He is also everywhere. You try to put a name on such a person. It's impossible. We can't come up with a name that fits someone so powerful and so great as our God. It says right here, it's a name that only the Father and the Son know, because those are the only two that can understand how great and powerful they are. So if we could, with our old earthly eyes, if we could truly see our God in His fullness, in His greatness, in His power, in His saving glory, if we could see Him, we would be speechless. We would have no name for Him. Because only one that is of like kind, equal, can know such a name. And that's what that scripture verse is saying. And why is that scripture verse saying it right here and right now? Is because this is the first time that God's returning to earth. And man will see Him. And there will be no name for Him. He will come in His full glory and His full power to come and to take all evil out of this earth and set His kingdom up. And we're going to be with Him if you know Jesus as your Savior. If you don't, and the rapture takes place today, and you go off into the seven-year tribulation, into this tribulation period that we have studied for many months now, if you slip off into that time, first, if you've heard Jesus, heard the gospel, and you've rejected, I don't believe you can be saved. If you have not heard the gospel, and you go into this period, this seven-year period, then you can be saved, but you'll immediately be martyred. We've got a lot of folks we need to tell that great news, the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, too. We need to tell them Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We're going to continue with this event from coming from glory, from heaven down to this earth next week. So please don't miss. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank You for the opportunity to just one step at a time. We looked at the horses. We looked at the opening of heaven. And we have looked at You, dear Lord, as Your coming. And we know why You're coming. Many times as a country, we have went to war. We went to war to win, but we weren't all that sure we could. But we were going to give it all to win. And if we didn't win, it wasn't because we held back. Now, Father, there's no question that when Jesus comes, victory is won. Your word has been true and right since the beginning of time, and we by faith know it will finish in the same manner, true and right. Thank you that you have given us these words. We're going to be a part of this. We're coming back with you. We've just spent 7 years with you up in heaven as all this was going on here upon earth, and we will return with you to rule and reign. Father, speak to hearts today, please. Folks that do not know you as their Savior, that they'll come, please. It would be a terrible, terrible thing to hear the gospel today and say, I'm going to have to think about it. And either you face the grave or Jesus comes to get his church, either way you lose. Father, please. We're winners with you, not losers. We're victorious. Please speak to hearts today, Father. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.